Good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, I should say. Hold on a minute. 10 o'clock. Don't look at your clock and say Mark's been drinking this early in the morning, because neither one of them's true. It's 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. If you'd like to get in and have a call, have a car question, or if you want me to settle a dispute between you and your son, or you and your wife, or you and the neighbor, then 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. We've got five of them. Gil is, actually, this is what I hear on my mic. But he'll wake up if the phone rings. And his name's Gil, and he'll answer, and then he'll get you in queue. Got some information. Kind of interesting stuff. We started the best car repair shops list way back between, well, right around 1990. There are five shops that are still on the list, that have been on the list since day one. And that's Mike's Auto Tech in Glendale, Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, Blackwell Auto, 40th Street and Greenway, Bell Auto, Pima and the 101, and Auto Dynamics in Sun City. Those five have been on our list since day one. And they're all really good guys. And we've only removed two. So that's a pretty good run. And we removed two just for some kind of differences within the communication, you know, what they said and what was really going on or whatever, whatever. But nevertheless, neither one of them, well, no, one of them didn't have anything to do with a customer or customer contact. The other did. So the best car repair shops has been around for a very long time. There's lots of other referral networks. But I don't get paid when you get visit there. We have an annual fee, but you have me on your side. So if you have a problem, then you want me to be involved, then I'm happy to help you, and the shop is happy to have me there, and we'll work together. Going on, I've read this before, but it is so unbelievable. I have a work order here in front of me, and my daughter has scratched out the top of the work order about who it is, but I can tell you it says auto repair. She scratched out the first two words, but it's auto repair, and it's in Phoenix. And this is what it says on the work orders. You shall not disparage, defame, or discredit any member or organization or employee of auto repair, or engage in any activity that would have the effect of disparaging, defaming, or discrediting auto repair, or its members, managers, affiliates, officers, directors, employees, in any way. That is really strange. They're talking about reviews. That's what they're talking about. So when you go there and you have work done, then you're promising not to discredit, disparage any member or employees, or engage in activity which would have the effect of disparaging, defaming, or discrediting. So someone has to define the effect of disparaging, defaming, or discrediting. But then it goes on to extend this protection to the members, the managers, the affiliates. I'm assuming that's like the parts houses, the officers, the directors, and the employees. I don't know where they got that. I'm sure some attorney wrote it up. But that's just really unbelievable to me. I would be so embarrassed to have that on my repair order. That is just unbelievable. Nevertheless, if you're asked to sign that, I would suggest as a friend and as somebody in the auto repair industry that's considered an expert that you politely decline. More than likely, you're not getting invited back. And if you have a warranty problem, you might have a problem getting them to perform under warranty. But nevertheless, that's kind of silly. The Secret Santa Club is a bunch of people who felt bad on Christmas morning that they didn't do more. That they didn't, they're blessed in many, many ways, but they just didn't do more. And so that's how it got started, and it's been going on for more than 20 years. We're kind of the center, and so one of the things that we do is we take donations. 100% of the donations goes to somebody that's in need, and we, along with our partners, find and identify those places. So all the money, 100% of the money, goes towards that. Well, we ask if anybody wanted to participate, and we had quite a few callers that did participate. So let me tell you where we're at today. We've raised north of $5,000. Now, there is a lady who we have been working with that handles young children that are in group homes that have been removed from their family for various reasons. The state oftentimes has money for Christmas for the younger ones, but as they get older and they're close to timing out, otherwise they're getting close to 18, they don't really have anything for those kids. And of course, those kids are going to go out on their own most of the time or go to other family members, so they have a need to have something. So we put a lot of money in those group homes, and our elves went out and shopped for those kids so that they had a Christmas, probably their last one in state custody, but also they had some nice clothes and some shoes and some toiletries and all that stuff, plus maybe a wallet and stuff that they may not otherwise have when they're in the custody of the state. So we took care of a lot of those kids. We've gone to a variety of nursing homes and rest homes, and we've identified elderly people who have no family, so no one visits them during Christmas time, but our elves do. And you would be surprised that when you walk into an elderly gentleman who's been bedridden for quite some time and has no family, if you give him cologne and you give him deodorant and shaving cream and maybe even a shaver, and then if you also pay in advance for a haircut or a pedicure or something like that, you wouldn't believe the joy that they have for those simple things that the rest of us take for granted. So the nursing homes, the rest homes, we also did St. Mary's Food Bank. We also partner, especially when one of the grocery stores says that, you know, if you buy a turkey, they'll donate a turkey to the homeless. Boom, we're in that, like stink on whatever. That's how we do it. Now, we've got enough elves, but we're always open to money. So if you want to make a donation, then mark at marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. My daughter Andy will handle that. You can use a credit card. It'll come from Salem Boys, our business, and so on and on and on. So we're really proud of the people that have stepped up and said we'd like to be a part of this, and there's a lot of gratification when you get to do that anyway. I got so many crazy things in front of me that you just can't believe it. Okay. If you know someone that's always wanted to open up their auto repair shop, or if you are someone, Phoenix Body Works has this shop next door. And this shop next door is at 19th Avenue and Deer Valley. It's a 1,000 square foot shop, and the garage is facing North Deer Valley Road. It's a 20-year-old business that already has more than 20 existing commercial accounts and lots of regular customers already in place. It has an alignment machine, a drive-on rack, a two-post rack, and a tire mount and balance machine already there. So you can do mechanical work, but alignments, tires, and that kind of stuff is something this has done for a long time. So it's $15,000 to buy it, and it's $1,500 a month to rent it. But you already have equipment. You already have everything you need. You have customers. And you can do mechanical repairs and alignments, but your number one customer is going to be Phoenix Body Works that's right next door to you. So if you know anybody who is interested in opening up their own shop, then I would at least go talk to them, and they can start their own venture with an existing building, an existing clientele, an existing place with equipment, and they can do their own hours and all that other jazz. So, and I'm going to write down 12, 19, 20 to remind me that I said something about that. But Rudy and the guys at Phoenix Body Works are really good to work with. And if I were younger, I would probably go talk to them and see what kind of an agreement we could come to. But then again, if you're out that looking for that, this is an opportunity. And if not, and folks, I don't make a dime on anything like that at all. I'm not interested. Okay, my wife says I can't do this, but I don't care. Rules are made for everybody else. You guys, if you're like me, Christmas morning comes and you're just not feeling really well because you didn't go out and go crazy with Christmas for the kids and the grandkids and the employees and blah, blah, blah. And it's just because you didn't have time, and so you just kind of sit there and you don't feel good. Well, I'm one of them. And although we have a Christmas party for our employees, and we also send out hams to a lot of our vendors and a lot of our biggest employees and people that are special to us, I found a place today that's called MyNameNecklace.com. MyNameNecklace.com. I ordered a necklace for my wife. Shh, don't tell her. And on it are these little washers. And on the side of the washers, it has the name of important people. So I have my my daughter-in-law, and then I have my two daughters, and then I have my two granddaughters. And it's really neat because their names are on there. And it's kind of like a chain with little bitty washers, maybe just slightly smaller than a dime, but as thick as maybe three dimes. And, of course, they put their names right on there. So it was really kind of cool. And so I got that for my wife. And it will be something that is, you know, it's a talking point. Oh, who does that represent? Well, my daughter-in-law, my two daughters, and my two granddaughters. I didn't put any of the grandsons on there because it didn't fit. This isn't going to make me feel really good, but it's going to make me feel better than last year because Christmas shopping just isn't my thing. Nevertheless, if you're interested, it's called MyNameNecklace.com. And I saw an ad for it, and then I went and looked at it, and it was really cool. Now, they have a leaf. I didn't buy that. And then they have this other little thing, and I didn't buy that. I just wanted the five hoops or the five names that are on the necklace. Anyway, 602-508-0960 is the phone number if you'd like to call us and have a car problem. I can't help you with your wife. I can't help you wives with your husband, although my wife says that I'm a terrible marriage counselor, so I'm not going to really take that job on. Anyway, if you have a car problem or a dispute, and then when we get back, I'm going to tell you a really nice letter that I got about one of the shops, and those are the ones that just make my day. And so when we come back, we'll talk about that. Well, 21 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, Mark Salem here every Saturday, 10 to 12, talking about car and car repair issues, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question or a car problem. But I want to read something to you that I'm kind of really proud on about. I love these kinds of letters. I had a Kia 4-speed automatic, and suddenly it developed a reluctance to upshift to second gear, which means it was stuck in first. This is an automatic transmission. And it was stuck in first gear. And then when it did shift, it would be a very harsh shift, which means it's an abrupt, it's a hard bam from the shift to 1 to 2. So I suspected some sort of a speed sensor problem, so I limped it into Auto Dynamics in Sun City, one of the shops that you recommend. Kevin got Ryan right on it, and he diagnosed it, and he found that there was rodent damage to three wires under the battery. So he excavated as necessary, repaired three wires, and then pressure washed the area from rat residue, and then he bagged that up and gave it to Kevin, the service writer. I added that. Everything's fixed in 24 hours, complete with pictures for the insurance company. So I got excellent service from Kevin and Ryan and from Automotive Dynamics in Sun City. So those are letters that I really like to hear, and those are ones that that make my day. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Gil, did you have a doorbell?
No, it sounded like wind chimes on your end.
Yeah, it did. It did. It's probably the alarm going off, and the dogs are running through the living room. Who knows? When you work on your car, when you have your car worked on, there's a couple of pieces that are typically missing. First of all, you just give them the symptoms. Now, you'll notice the last gentleman that I just read about his good visit at Auto Dynamics in Sun City, one of the things he said is, I suspected some sort of a speed sensor problem. That's not really something I would think that you'd want to tell the shop. I think what's important is you tell the shop that sometimes it holds first gear a little longer and it's got a shift problem. I think if you say that I suspect it's a speed sensor, what the shop may do, the shop may say, okay, well, he found that on Google or somebody told him, but we really should eliminate that first to cover our tail end, because if it ends up being that, we can't check everything else out. So they check out the speed sensor, and that's not it, and that's part of your bill. So in this particular case, evidently the shop ignored the speed sensor idea and found these wires chewed up under the battery, although these wires could have come from the speed sensor as they tracked them backwards. I wasn't there and I don't know. My advice to you, though, is just symptoms. Let's talk about symptoms. And if you write them down and hand them to them, that's even better, because oftentimes we want to give a copy of that to the technician. So from their mouth, you can deal with that. When you have, oh, we got to turn that off. I can tell you that much right now. And I don't know why that's happening, but I think I'm just going to turn the whole thing off, Gil, and make you happy. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. It's also important that when you talk to them and they give you the estimate, you need to tell them, is that the amount I have to write my check for? Because between shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax, it could be 20% higher. So 100 becomes 120, and so forth and so on. So it's important. Is that tax in? Can I write my check for that amount before I get there? So that you're not surprised with that 20% on top of your bill. So that's important. And then one of the things that you need to say is we need to have a meeting of the minds, according to the attorneys. The meeting of the minds is okay, I'm going to spend $120, and you're going to fix my shift problem. Right, and you're adamant that you know how to fix it, then you're going to fix it. So I'm really happy to hear that, but I just want to make sure that this isn't going to be a never-ending call. Well, it's a speed sensor, but it's also the transmission fluid. And then it's the transmission fluid, but also there's a bad bus connection somewhere underneath the dash we got to go dig up. Those are the kinds of calls that you don't want to have. So it's just a real matter of meeting of the minds. Speaking of attorneys, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I do a lot of cases that involve a lot of different stuff. And I just recently read a long conversation in a deposition kind of form where the attorney was questioning the owner and his number one technician of a store, of a repair store. And during that particular process, he was asking them, well, didn't you get the technical service bulletin for Firestone? And didn't you get this recall from Uniroyal? And didn't you get this? And didn't you get that? And I was sitting there reading that stuff, and here's what I wanted to scream out. Show me the list that I can be on to get all that. How do I get all that? Not last year, 2020, we had between 540 and 560 models of cars and trucks that were on the road in the United States. North of 500 models. Now, the makes, there's, depending on who you talk to, there's 10 to 15 makes. Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota, and all the other guys. But all of those 14, let's call them 14, make 500 models of cars and trucks that have their name on them. I mean, total. So I was sitting there thinking to myself, I don't even have technical service bulletins on my wife's car. I can look them up, but I don't even have them now. And with respect to a lot of the other stuff, they were suggesting that the shop was deficient because it didn't have all the rest of this stuff. It was a joke, because I can't possibly find the technical service bulletins or have them at my disposal, technical service bulletins or recalls on your car when you come in. But most of the time, if your address is right, the recalls will come to you. Or you'll read about them in the paper, or you can just get your VIN number and Google it in the internet, and you might find all kinds of stuff. But there has to come a time where the responsibility for your car and your tires and the maintenance on your car is yours. It's not mine. Obviously, if your car is in for a repair and I notice a bad coolant leak, I have a responsibility to bring that to your attention. But by the same token, I'm not responsible for having a crystal ball and looking into the future, and if you blow a tire the next day on your car, it's not my fault. The tire was fine when you brought it in, or you'd have said something, and the tire was fine when you left, and the fact that it blew out is just not my problem, or the shop's problem. I should put it that way, the shop's problem. So those are the kinds of dynamics that we have. On one hand, we have the side that says that the shop is responsible because the brakes failed, and then you find out that the last time the car was in any repair shop was a year and a half ago.
1 minute.
So then you wonder, how is it the shop's responsible? Well, they saw it last. That was a year and a half ago. But still, they should have known. Oh, so they should have known that the brakes are going to fail a year and a half from now. So those are the kinds of issues that oftentimes permeate our industry, and typically they come in the form of a lawsuit, and usually we're some kind of a person in the parameter. So they're really suing the tire company because the tire failed, but then everybody else, whoever looked or touched or smelled that tire for the last year, is going to be in the food chain. So those are the kinds of things that I deal with on a regular basis. Some of them are valid because the shop did make a mistake, but I can say to the attorney, I'd rather be on your side, or sometimes I say to the attorney, I'd rather be on the other side, and I think that speaks volumes about what I think about their case. 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. A couple of things real quick. Andy Val, who owned Rain Tree Auto Body in North Scottsdale, just recently passed away. Andy was a friend of mine. Andy was one of my heroes because Andy fought for his customers against the insurance companies. The insurance company would say, this is not part of the accident. And Andy didn't have any problem by raising his hand. While he may not have been a very popular person when it comes to the insurance companies of which I work for, he was my hero. So his sons still run Rain Tree Auto Body. So even though Andy's passed on, the boys have a significant amount of experience, and they've been around a long time. So if you're thinking about having your car fixed, then Rain Tree Auto Body in Northeast Scottsdale would be a good place to go. Up in that area is Blackwell Automotive, 40th Street in Glendale. I've told you 100 times, he's one of my best friends. He knows right from wrong, and he's afraid of his wife. That's kind of an important thing to me. And he can work on old cars and new cars, so 40th and Greenway, and he's the only mechanical shop up in that area that I can recommend. Jeff, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I've got a 2001 Ford Escape. Got the 3.0 V6, and we've owned the vehicle since it's had 18,000 miles, so I know pretty much everything about it. And noticed that we had a coolant leak at the radiator where the tank meets the radiator, and also the water pump out the weep hole was leaking. So I decided to replace everything, radiator, pump, hoses. And when I had the radiator, I was such a pain to get that thing out that I decided to replace the fans as well, because I wasn't going to go back in there.
Okay.
And thermostat and the bypass assembly. Put it all back together and refilled with coolant. And the problem I'm having with it is the temperature goes right up to the normal, right in halfway in between, quicker than normal, and then the fan kicks on high after about 30 minutes driving. So it's been cool out here, and at night, the fan's running on high.
Okay.
So the only thing I've done so far was replace the coolant temp sensor, the one that tells the computer what it's at, and that definitely didn't fix it.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'm real concerned about your symptoms. You can chase them if you want. But there's,
yeah,
if you have two fans, then more than likely one is attached to the air conditioning system that may run when you're in heater mode as well. And then the other one you typically have is it related to engine temperature. So if it doesn't go past half, and my boundary is between half and three quarters, then I don't care about that. If the heater works, that's a good idea. And if you've got the heater working, sometimes the electric coolant fan will be commanded. But I don't know how it's wired, because the car's 19 years old, and frankly, I just don't know. But you can find out pretty quick on which fan runs for whatever reason, but I'm not real sure that I'm going to be real concerned about this. Once you find out, the answer is once you find out what the fans are, how they're commanded on, then you'll have everything you need to know. But if you keep the climate controls off and the other one fan comes on, then that's typically going to be coming on at about 220. maybe even higher.
Okay.
And so in the absence of any coolant on the ground, in the absence of any red lights, in the absence of the needle going outside the half to three-quarter mark, I think you should let it go. Okay? Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff. Scott, you're up next. How can I help you?
Mark, thank you. Hey, I have a 2003 Nissan Altima. It's a V6. And it's actually my mother-in-law's. It's 80,000 miles only. It's been well-maintained meticulously. And the trans, when she drives, it just goes into a fail-safe when it gets warmed up. So it just won't go over 40, 50 miles an hour. Took it into service for normal repair place in Chandler, switched ownership. So they did a quick assessment that it needs a new transmission. So I'm looking for, one, a troubleshooter, two, just a good recommendation for someone that can look at the CVT type trans and get a good estimate on that.
Ooh. Well, I think we need to involve the dealer, because everyone's going to shoot at the dealer. So the independent repair, then you got chain stores, and then you got the dealer. So I think I would take it to them, and I would just say to them that it goes into limp mode, and here's how come I know it goes into limp mode, and I'm familiar with limp mode. And
1 minute.
What's your checkout fees? And then I'd like you to give me an estimate. That's it. That's what I would do. I think you need, if you've got an independent shop or a chain store on one hand, and then you got the dealer on the other, you're going to have two prices for the work. Did the first guy give you a price?
Yeah, $4,000.
Okay, and we're all going to buy the transmission from the same place, so nobody rebuilds CVT transmissions because they're terrible. And no one wants to put their name on
right.
them. So really all you got is the transmission, the R&R and flush and everything. Remove and reinstall and then flush it and everything. So I think what you're looking for is some kind of balance. And I think if you were somebody in my family that I loved, I would give you the same. I would give them the same advice. We need to have another somebody else look at it. Because there's anybody that's going to be really good with CVTs in your Altima. So you got one transmission shop, and then you got the dealer, and I think that's what serves you the best. Okay?
Good deal. Thank you.
All right. You betcha. Alan, I can't get you because I got to take a break right now, but in 3 minutes I'll be back, and I'll take you immediately. Four minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, right here. We're talking about cars and car repair every Saturday from 10 to 12. And Scott, I just have another comment for you, and then I'm going to go straight to Alan. Scott, when you talk to both of these facilities, this is how I would communicate with them. Okay, your diagnosis is I need a new CVT transmission. Fine. And how much is the transmission? How much is the labor? Are you going to put all fresh fluid in it? Is there any reprogramming necessary? And so what do I write my check for before I leave? And then what's your warranty? That separates all the men from the boys. But I can assure you there's only one vendor for that CVT. It's really going to boil down to, is somebody going to flush it? And the answer, they're both probably going to say yes. And then, is there a warranty on it? They're both going to say yes. And then you're going to be down to price, which is not always what I suggest people look at. But in your case, I think you're best served. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, good. I was 2002 F-150, and I phoned you a few weeks ago about the airbag light on the dashboard, and I replaced the coil spring, the clock spring, and I still have the light on the dash.
Okay. Well, somebody's going to have to go in and diagnose it. So I think you had a lot of miles because it was an 02, right?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. That was about 170,000, yeah.
Yeah. And then I told you, beat on the steering wheel and see if you can get the light to go on and off, and turn the steering wheel left and right and watch the light to see if it does go on and off, because those are really good symptoms for a clock spring. But at this point, unless you have a scanner, somebody's going to have to go in there and see if the PCM and the airbag module is talking to the airbag, and if not, why not? And most of the time it could be, I hope you did the clock spring right, but it could be that, or it could be the airbag module or some connection between all of them. But I can't tell you what it is at this point. I'm sorry.
No. Okay, I just see. I'll get a scanner and scan it. See if that tells me something.
All right.
Okay, man. Thank you very much. And Merry Christmas.
And thank you, Alan. Thank you. The same to you, Mike. You're up next.
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I called you a few weeks ago. I bought a Lexus 08. It's got about 165,000 on it. Couple questions. It's got squeaky brakes, like it's coming from the front.
Uh-huh.
We looked at the brake pads. There's probably a half inch on all the pads. But there is kind of like a pulsing when I stop.
Okay.
And you kind of hear it in the car, like a grinding noise.
Okay, all right. When you have a pulsation in the brake pedal, almost always that's a bad wheel bearing or it's a warped rotor. It could also be the hardware kit that holds a caliper to the mount. So you've got those to contend with, and you have to determine whether it's in the front or the back. And so as far as brake squeaking is concerned, that's the least of your problems. You can deal with that later, but most of the time, if you go out and make about three or four panic stops, that will help it. But it also could be that you're going to have to take the pads off and sand them. Maybe you have to get a small air grinder and put a non-directional finish on the rotor as you spin the rotor, which is what we do a lot of times. But the squeal is the pad is vibrating. So if you want to get a hardware kit for the axle, the hardware kit keeps the pad from vibrating. So if you say, I need a hardware kit, and it's you know for sure it's in the front, and you say, I need a hardware kit for the front, then once you see them in your hand, you'll know what to do with them.
Oh, I see. Well, we did jack the car up, and then the right passenger front tire, we'd spin it, and you'd kind of hear it. It would kind of go fast and then slow down.
Okay, you're talking about the squeal?
Like just hands. We had the car off. It's rear-wheel drive, so we jacked it up.
Okay.
And we checked that we were spinning the tire. We just put the jack on it, and we spun the tire.
Uh-huh.
The tire would go really fast, and then slow, fast, slow.
Okay.
The rotor.
There's more to it than that. When he had it up, you should have grabbed 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock on the tire, and you should have moved in and out, in and out. And then you'd take the front of it, go in and out, in and out. The fast kids, there is no science behind the you jack it up and spin the wheel. Because you're completely outside of the area of performance. That car doesn't ever have the wheel in the air. And so what you did really doesn't give you anything. So it's not that big of a deal, but the brake pad is vibrating. And that's why now some guys will pull the brake pads off, clean the back of them, they'll put that silicone gel on the back of them, put the brake pads back on, and go, hey, it fixed it. Yeah, it normally does because the squeal is not between the asbestos part of the pad and the rotor. The squeal is between the backside of the pad, the metal, and the metal caliper. That's where the squeal's at. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Good luck, Mike.
I got one other question.
Go.
If I was to bring the Lexus in at $165,000 a year shop and say, hey, I want a tune-up, what would you do for these type of cars for tune-up? I mean, I've done the belt. These do spark plugs. I mean, I don't know. I bought the car with 170. I don't really know the history.
Well, I think
the car runs fine. There's no lights or anything.
Okay. I think what I would do is I would take it in for an oil change and say, I mean, when you need an oil change, you take it in for an oil change and you say, hey, by the way, will you pull a spark plug out of this thing and take a look at it and tell me if I need a full set? Because what happens if we pull the spark plug out and it's brand new? So that's the easy way to test it.
Yeah.
You know, or do you do that?
Okay.
Just take it out and look at it. And I mean, you can certainly, my mother could tell if she had a new spark plug in the right hand and your spark plug in the left hand, she could tell whether it's bad, whether it's worn, whether it's really old versus the new one. So that's all there is just looking at the spark plug. You just bought it. No one knows when the last time it has spark plugs in it. But let me tell you this. A lot of the spark plugs in the newer cars, and yours is an 08, so it's not necessarily a newer car, they'll go 50 to 100,000 miles. And they're also really expensive. so,
well, that's kind of my quandary. Should I do it, take it in, or whatever? But
just pull
with
one.
It running great. I just don't. Yeah,
yeah,
I'll do that.
And the idle quality is the first thing to change if you have a misfire. Is the idle quality, And it'll change.
I can't even tell the car's running half the time. I think it's stalled.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not going to stall with spark plugs unless they all fail or all, you know, half the coils fail or the crankshaft sensor.
No, I'm just saying it feels like it stalls, but it's running. It's, I don't, even at light, it's like, is the car even running? But it, there's no shaking or anything.
Well, thank you for trusting us to bring that in, but I've given you really better advice. And here's the deal. When you pull the spark plugs out, you're going to have to take either the coil off the boot or the spark plug wire off the boot. I want you to be careful when you do that. Because people will grab a hold of the wire of the boot, they'll pull it apart. Oh, gosh, we got a problem at that point. Because you can't buy just one wire, unless we make the wire for you. So, when if you're going to pull that off, buy a little tube of dielectric grease. It's white. You put some just a little bit inside the boot. You put the boot on the spark plug, left and right. Then the next guy, the boot comes right off. And we don't leave half the boot that's melted on the spark plug. And then now we have to put, and if you have coil over, the coil sits on the top. There's a little rubber boot about an inch long.
Yeah, there are coils on it.
Okay.
The car has coils. Yeah.
Then so now we got to replace all of those because you messed those up too. So just be careful.
Ooh,
walk slowly. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Mark.
You betcha. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is up in North Phoenix. Nate, I mean, his name ought to be Diesel. Because he knows a lot about diesel. They do service, repair, they sell parts. They also sell fancy parts like fancy air filters and different exhaust and all that kind of stuff. So Nate is Strictly Diesel, really knows diesel. But if you have a Toyota and you need an oil change, he can do that too. He's at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road in North Phoenix. He sells parts 24 hours a day on their website. So if you want to see what kind of stuff he's got, maybe a little performance here, a little performance there, then you can go on their website, and the name of the company is Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Gil, we got anybody?
Nope, lines are open.
Okay, the lines are wide open. So if you want to cut cars, you can. I'm going to have to take a break at 58 minutes, which is 5 minutes from now. So if you call now, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, I might be able to get you in, but on the other hand, maybe I can't. I'll tell you something else about it. On the other side of town from I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, you got Thompson's Auto Repair. He's on Apache Boulevard or Main, just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. Why are they important? Is because I've known the parents of both Brian and Thelma. Back in the 60s and the 70s, they dominated gas stations and car repair in the Mesa general area. So I've admired the Vivian family and the Thompson family for a very, very long time. So if you're in Mesa, it's the only shop that I can recommend. The only shop in Mesa. Now, that doesn't mean there's not good shops in Mesa. But I'm promising you they'll do a good job. And I'm promising you that if somebody looks at a problem you have with them and they say, hey, Brian, hey, Thelma, give them $250 back. And Brian and Thelma say no, which is not going to happen. Then I'll step up and give you the $250. I'll give you up to $5,000 if the shop doesn't. And somebody says, give them $5,000. So I believe in my shops. I believe, and I have never paid a dime because everybody has fully participated in the dispute resolution process that I've laid out, and they know that they're going to get a fair shake. So those are the kinds of issues. Now, one of the shops a long time ago decided that they didn't want to pay it, and so we were preparing to remove him from our list when all of a sudden his wife hit him in the head with a piece of wood. She said balsa wood, and he turned around and he made the customer whole again. And he tells me now that the customer is still doing business with him. So those are the kinds of shops that we have. And don't forget, Thompson's is in Mesa. Strictly Diesel is up at I-17 and Bell. And those are really good places. If you want the full list, go to MarkSalem.com. MarkSalem.com. There's also some fake FAQs on MarkSalem.com that cover a lot. The FAQs are generated by radio questions since 1988. That's how long I've been on the radio, since 1988. I've been at this station since 2011. So I'll be here 10 years next year. So the FAQs, again, they're just like brake squeal. There's a FAQ on brake squeal. There's an FAQ on spark plugs. And so there's just lots of that kind of stuff, plus our list of good repair shops. And there's a lot of other automotive kind of stuff on our website, as you can well imagine. MarkSalem.com, MarkSalem.com. So if no matter what part of town you are in, there is a shop in your area.
And for those of you in the Ahwatukee, Sun Lakes, Tempe, Chandler, to some extent Gilbert, that area is covered by a shop that's not listed. It's the shop I own. And I don't think it's necessary that I thump my chest and tell everybody who I am and what shop I own, because that's not the purpose of the radio show. The purpose is to help you understand us and help us understand you and to give you the best advice I can give you. So, and I stand by my advice. Every once in a while, I'll get picked on by a shop or somebody else who doesn't like what I say, and I'm happy to listen to their complaints, and I'm happy to have that discussion. And sometimes we just go our separate ways, and sometimes there's some middle ground, and sometimes I raise my hand and say, yeah, you're right. I could have done a better job on that explanation. So I'm not without fault. You can ask my wife. On second thought, don't ask my wife. It's a really good thing not to ask my wife. I have to get the calculator out right now because Gil's telling me that I'm going to mess this up. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, come on, calculator, wake up. 2021. I'll be married to that witch for 47 years. Come February, I'm teasing you. I've been married to Renee 47 years come February. So, and I think the universal comment from my family, from my friends, from my customers, from everybody that knows the two of them is this. They will say to Renee, why have you not got rid of that SOB before now? Or, why have you stayed with him for all these years? And I think the answer is that there's nothing that's just blasé in my life. And so it's kind of, it's, I don't know how to put this. It's exciting to be in my world that has everything to do with car repair. And oftentimes they'll argue with me about my car repair stuff. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Shannon, thank you for waiting over the break. How can I help you?
Well, I believe that I just lost my timing chain on my truck. I the last two times I took it in for oil changes, I checked my oil out, and it didn't look like it had ever been changed. And then I started getting a funny noise in the front end of my truck, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And on my way home from work on Thursday, the noise got louder, and I pulled into my driveway, and I had my dad come out. I had turned it off to listen to the noise, and it wouldn't start at all.
Okay.
It has a real loud clanking noise, like something is broken.
Okay. Well, if your timing chain is bad, if you pop the distributor, what it does... What year is the truck?
It's a 2004 Chevy Colorado.
Okay. So you can take the distributor cap off of it, and you can just look to see if the rotor spins, because if the timing chain blew up, then the rotor won't spin, because the crankshaft turns the timing chain, the timing chain turns the crankshaft, and the crankshaft turns the distributor.
Right. I didn't know they had distributor caps anymore on newer cars.
Well, this is you said it was an 01?
No, it's a 2004 Chevy Colorado.
Okay. It may not have a distributor on it. You can follow the wires to find out where it's at. It wouldn't be hard for anybody to figure out. I mean, we can hook up a scanner to it and look at the crankshaft sensor and see if it's talking, and then the camshaft sensor if it's talking. But you said something. You went in two different directions. You got a clank, and you think it's a timing chain. But then, on the other hand, the oil really looked bad.
It did. I took it in 6 months ago, because I do every 3 months, even with the synthetic oil, because they told me I have to bring it in every 3 months or a certain amount of mileage, which is 3,000.
Okay.
And I checked it twice before, and I called them and said, didn't look like you changed my oil. And then the last time I went in, I had strictly synthetic, because I thought that's what they were doing the whole time, and they were not. And again, the oil looked like it had never been changed. And they changed out some metal piece inside the engine that showed, like, metal flakes in it.
Okay. I don't know anything about, you know, obviously I'm looking at them through your eyes. But I think, first of all, I'm really troubled if they're putting synthetic oil in your car and they're telling you you have a 3,000-mile interval.
And I know that from listening to your show. Okay. That I should be 10,000 miles.
Or more.
And not
but
three.
I'm
yes.
troubled by that, okay?
Okay.
Can I, my mom said, don't say anything. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. I'm changing the chapter on you. That's chapter
That's
two.
Okay.
I'm going to three. I don't like that. And I don't like the idea that, although I can't be sure that you looking at the oil dipstick really means anything, because not too long ago there was a gentleman that did that, and we pulled the dipstick and he goes, look how dirty it is. Well, really what was wrong with the stick itself was black, and that's normal. And so
won't
we got a paper towel and we wiped the oil off the stick, and it was it was a honey honey colored. So I think we need a fresh pair of eyes. That's what I think we need.
I do that when I check the I wipe it off and I put it back in. And it still comes out gunky.
Okay.
It's really thick and black. It's not, there's no, so.
No one will know if that has anything to do with this until you find out what it is. So I'm going to ignore the black dipstick. I'm ignoring the black dipstick. I'm going after the noise and the fact that it won't start. That's where you start.
Now, it got me home. It got me home on Thursday, and I had my dad come out to listen to the noise that I was hearing, and it wouldn't start at all. And so my main reason for calling you is, do you have a shop that I'm off of 99th Avenue and Union Hills that's where I can have it towed to and get another opinion? Because I've come to the point where I don't trust them anymore.
Okay. Well, you go to my website, marksalem.com, and you can see all the shops, 99th Avenue and Union Hills. I would call S&S Tire. In the Northwest, and ask them if they want to take a look at this engine noise and crank but no start. Mike's Auto Tech is in Glendale, and I know Mike could find and fix this. I mean, I know he can. So
Mike's Auto Tech?
Yes. And so Mike's Auto Tech or S&S Tire. Now, S&S Tire has three locations on the west side. You're going to want to look at their map and pick the one up in Sun City or one of those communities way up north. But those are the two. Now, if you want to go west from where you're, east from where you're at, then Deer Valley and I-17 is Action Auto, and I-17 and Bell is Kurtz Automotive. So those two guys are kind of sandwiched. I don't have anybody really north of that in that center area. I'm sorry, I just don't.
No, that's fine. I just appreciate your opinions, and I listened to you for years, and I know that you don't sway anybody differently. I just want to, because I called around and found out that it could cost a minimum of $1,500, the parts like $90. And the minimum of $1,500, depending on any damage caused by that timing chain going bad.
I think we need to focus on what's wrong, not focus on we think it's this, so we're going to find out the price of this. In reality, there's a lot of shops that will just shoot from the hip at that point. You know, I think my shop would say, well, based on what we know today, then I'm thinking a timing chain, a oil pan gasket, a front gasket, a timing chain, and two gears, an oil change. I'm not quite sure if I'm going to do any of the mounts. I'm not quite sure if I pull the timing cover off, do I have to take the water pump off? But if I take the water pump off, are you going to want a new water pump? So there's all these moving parts. I think you should focus. Now, let me ask you a question. Where, don't say the name, where's the shop that you've been going to?
It's off of, like, 89th Avenue and Grand.
89th and Grand.
It's right next to AutoZone.
Okay. All right. There's send me an email, mark@marksalem.com.
Hold on. Mark.
Mark with a K at marksalem.com. And here's what I'm going to do for you.
How do you spell your last name, Mark?
Salem like the cigarette.
I don't know how to spell that. S-A-L-U-M?
E-M. E-M.
S-A-L-E.
Now, don't tell me that you're 20 years old, because I have,
no,
I hear
I'm
that.
60.
Okay. There's a place up in that area that belonged to Tom Fletcher, and he sold it to one of his technicians, and he doesn't have the time necessary to be on my list. And so I want to check with Tom, and I may send you to him. But Mike in Glendale is a good guy too. So either one of those two guys, but I'll check with Tom, because if Tom said that he's been nothing but bad complaints, then I'm worried. But if Tom says, oh, he's been just a wonderful person to take over our shop, then I might send you there. So just send me an email and we'll go from there. I got to run. Howard, you're up next. How can I help you, Howard?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Mark, enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I have a problem with the 77 K10 Chevy truck. Got the strawberry milkshake in the tranny.
Okay.
But... And your buddy Trey is taking care of me on that.
Okay.
But my question for you is on radiators. And want to know what your sentiments were on the new aftermarket plastic versus the old brass one. So
okay,
I guess I'm in a dilemma.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I think you ought to stick with the girl that you took to the dance. I want to, if I had that 77K, which is, by the way, a Blazer, I'd put the metal back in there, and I would have my shop, and of course the tranny cooler's in the metal one, in one of the tanks.
Yeah.
And I would have my shop just kind of say, well, what would you do to your truck? And would you just kind of shop around for me to get the best warranty and the best price? That's a reasonable request, but I can tell you this much. There's only about three places in the United States that make radiators, and we all feed off of the same place. So I don't care what auto parts store you go to, you're going to buy a radiator A, B, or C. But to redo that and change the fittings between the cooler lines, the position of the cooler lines and the plastic, and then to change what we call the upper and lower mounts, and then to change, make sure that the upper hose and the lower hose connections are close enough to the old ones. So
yeah.
If I own that Blazer, and I have access to both of those, there's no way I'd put a plastic in it. I'd put a metal back in it.
Okay. Yeah. So would you recommend a shop that can redo the brass one that I have? Or
no, there's nobody that does that anymore. We used to do that in the 70s and the 80s all the time, and there was a guy in Guadalupe that did ours, and I loved that guy like my brother. He was magic with radiators. He'd rot them and repair them and block tubes. But no, you're going to buy one in a box. And just say to Trey, I want you to buy a radiator that you'd buy for your own. Well, first of all, Trey, do you love your girlfriend's dad or your wife's dad?
Yeah.
And then I would want you to buy a radiator that you would buy for somebody you love. That's what I want you to do. And that's what I would say to Trey. Because we got a couple of different options out there, and they're not necessarily price-driven. So he's going to want to go with a vendor that he's got a long relationship with in case something happens. So if he goes with a vendor because he's shopping price and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, that vendor goes, wait a minute, Trey, you spent, you know, $160 with me over the last 25 years, and now you want me to wave my magic wand and fix a problem that you probably caused? You don't want to be involved in that. So just I'd leave it to Trey, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You betcha. And he's talking about automatic transmission exchange, 40th Street, and let me see where that key's at, because I got too many things on my mind. 40th Street in Washington. Thank you. And he's been around a long time, and Trey is one of the guys that works there, but Phil's one of the guys that's been there for 100 years. And Phil is the Fred Flintstone of transmissions. He was there when... cars still had stone tires. and Phil's been around since the very first automatic transmission. So he understands the fundamentals. And like everybody else in the car, in the industry, you're only as good as the years of experience you have. So 602-508-0960. That's the phone number if you want to talk cars. 602-508-0960. We'll be back.
21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Real quick, Kurt's Automotive Repair is at I-17 in Bell. He does both gas and diesel. He's been around a very long time. And he's a Better Business Bureau Ethic Award winner. And that says something special. So if you're near I-17 in Bell, Eric and Kurt are really good guys, and they have your interests in front of their own. They're not going to take advantage of you. They're not going to lie to you, and they can fix cars. That's Kurt's Auto Repair, I-17 and Bell, northeast corner. Barry, good morning.
I have a 2005 Scion TC. I think I've identified the problem. I'm just wanting to get it kind of confirmed and what I might do to fix it. It's a hard starting problem. Originally, a technician told me that my fuel pump was going out.
Okay, hold on. We can't go through all of this. I just want symptoms. It's hard start. I need to ask you some questions, okay? When you say hard start, does it crank over normally? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good. Is there a specific time it starts fine and a specific time it doesn't start? Hot, cold, morning, night?
In the morning, and let me explain a little bit. The temperature gauge automatically goes to normal.
Okay, so I don't care about that.
All right.
I don't care about that. You said hard starting, so it cranks over, but it doesn't catch. And the temperature gauge has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
So if it cranks over normally, it's not the battery, it's not the alternator, it's not the starter. So here's what you do. Fill it up and run it off the top part of the tank and see what happens. Then let it get down to a quarter tank and drive it and see what happens. If you've got a fuel pump in the tank, we're going to aggravate it by dropping it down to a quarter because the fuel pump needs to be cooled and lubricated by the gas. So if we drop it down to quarter tank, then all of a sudden the fuel pump's out there in never land. But the easiest thing to do is put a gauge on it. Just put a gauge on it and go drive it for a while. And you already know, I mean, it's easy to find the parameters, but just put a gauge on it. I'm not going to be able to fix your car with a temperature gauge and then you have a hard crank or an extended crank or a crank but no start. There's only two reasons for a crank and no start, spark and fuel. That's all there is, spark and fuel. So that's
eventually it does start, and then it runs normal the rest of the day and starts normally.
So does the ignition problem with a bad crank sensor, and so does a fuel pump.
Okay.
Like, I can't guess. And here's the deal. I'm not going to guess, Barry, because if I guess, you're going to go out and do it, and if that's not it, the cost to you to do it is going to exceed the diagnostic of a shop. And you can say, I want to fix it. I want you to tell me what it is.
Yeah, I understand.
So I had a Ford pickup in the other day, and he had put fuel pump in, and he had done everything that everybody on Google said, and he had a bad fuse. That's it. He had a bad fuse.
Okay.
And it was intermittent. The fuse had a bad connection. And there's a fix for that because the fuse overheats and screws up the fuse panel, fuse box. So anyway, good luck to you. Tom, you're up next. How can I help you?
Morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I belong to this Chevy Duramax forum.
Okay.
And everybody thinks, 2006 and 2007, it's automatically an LBZ engine. So I got in a big argument with the guy. I said, the only way you can actually tell is for the VIN number. So the one guy was arguing because he had a cold a 2 VIN, and I know an LBZ engine has a D VIN. And just because he has a little sticker on the engine that's saying it's the LBZ, but it's got a 2 VIN, is there any truth to that?
Well, why are you involved in this argument?
Well, because he was saying that.
Okay.
Because I mentioned the only way you can tell if it's one of those LLY engines or an LBZ engine is through the VIN.
Okay.
And then he chimed in and just said, no, it's not true because I have a VIN too, and it's an LBZ engine.
Okay. Well, I don't argue on the internet, I can tell you that much right now. But first of all, it's probably VIN sensitive, but the first 3 months of the year can be the last months, and the last 3 months of the year can be the next year's. So all of a sudden, you've got this time frame where the date of production is 12 of 02, but it's really an 03. Or it's January of 13, and it's really a 12. So all you have to, and I, the LBZ and all that stuff, it's not important to a guy like me. It's just not important. It's no different than a 327 or a 350 or a 305 or a 283. They're all small block Chevys. So it's just not that important. If you want to be specific, go to your local auto parts store and tell them you want them to give you the year ranges for all the different Duramax motors. They can do that. And then you can have your argument with the guy on the internet about what it is or what it isn't. I think that the VIN won't tell you which motor it is. And actually, it's I think it's the 8th VIN. The 10th is the year, and the 8th is the motor, or it could be the other way around. I don't remember. So you
yeah,
might
the 8th, I think.
Okay, so whatever. I don't know the answer to your question. I just don't know without doing research. So I'm sorry. I just don't know the answer to your question. Nick, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Thank you. Super Duty diesel, and I've got a strange problem. The power windows don't work when the engine's running. Turn off the engine, just turn the key to on without starting it. The power windows work fine. I'm thinking maybe a ground problem, but I don't know if it's why it would happen when it's running.
Well, you're asking questions that are only going to be able to be answered after we fix it. So, and I mean that. I mean, this is that hard. I mean, you go in with the key on, and you identify that you got power and ground to the master. Now, you're working the windows off the driver's control?
Yes.
Okay. Does it work off the passenger control?
No.
Okay. So.
Oh yeah, it does. It does when the engine's off. Yeah, everything works when the engine's off.
I understand, but I'm asking you: engine off, engine on. Does the passenger act like the driver's?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So basically, all the windows and all the switches are off.
Mm-hmm.
So none of them work when you start it up and run it. Well, I think that there's a relay in there for the door locks, but I would probably identify which wires go to the master switch on the driver's door, and then I would find power and ground, and then I would turn the key on and start the motor. And if I was missing power and ground, then I'd look at a wiring diagram and I'd go backwards. But there's no way anybody's going to be able to fix this without a little bit of work to identify, because we can all guess. But this, and then after you're done, then you say, "Well, how did that happen?" And the answer is, well, you had a bad ground right here, or the answer is we traced it to a bad connection at the relay, or we traced it to the bad connection at the bus. I mean, you can answer the question, but only after you fix it. And I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
That's a weird problem. I've
never seen it before.
No, nor have I.
I've worked on cars since the 60s and restored many cars and worked on everything from engines to, you know, bodywork. And I've never seen anything like that before.
Get on the internet and get a wiring diagram for the electric windows of your Super Duty. And so if you've done all that work, you should be able to follow the wiring diagram. But anyway, I got to run. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. When we come back, we'll take your call, 602-508-0960.
All about that.
34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday we're here 10 to 12. We're talking about car repair. What we do is we talk about year, make, and model, and then we talk about symptoms. So year, make, and model, and I've got a problem that the windshield wipers flap when I have a little bit of rain, or the windshield wipers are sporadic, or something like I have a vibration in the seat of my pants. What do you think it is? Those are the kinds of things we talk about, symptoms. What I'm not interested in doing is talking about what the guy on the internet said it was, because he doesn't have a prayer in Haiti of being able to tell you what it is, and frankly, neither do I. I'm only as good as what you say to me, and answering the questions properly. So if you say yes and the answer is really no, then I'm going to make a turn for the wrong direction. The only thing I bring to the table is our shop has fixed
half a million cars since 19, well, we opened in 79, but I've been working on cars since 1968. So we have some experience with respect to what some of the problems are, or at least what we would do to diagnose the problem. So if we have, if you think you got a bad fuel pump, the easiest thing to do is put, screw a gauge on it, tape it to the front windshield and go drive it. And that'll tell you all you need to know. If the gauge falls to zero and the car engine dies, then we're either fuel pump relay or we're fuel pump. Or the fuel pump has to see an engine trigger that the engine's running in order to fire up. And so we've got one or two or three problems. So that's kind of how it works. Larry Harker's Auto Repair. I do commercials about really good shops, but I'm going to tell you, I don't like Larry Harker's Auto Repair. I don't like Bob and Ellen. I don't like Jeremy. They've been around since 1967. They do auto electrical work, brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance. They do all kinds of stuff. But here's why I don't like them. Every year for the Secret Santa Club, Mark and Renee tell the shops that are a part of this Secret Santa Club, where we donate and do special things in a very anonymous way. Mark and Renee always match the highest donation. And typically that might be a number like three digits, but not for the Harkers. And so they pony up a whole bunch of money, which mean Mark and Ray have to match it. So I'm just teasing you when I tell you I don't like them. Obviously, I respect the heck out of Harkers, but Bob and Ellen are a big part of our Secret Santa Club. And Renee and I always know we got to match them, and we never care because they set the tall end and then, you know, there's the middle and then the bottom, and people donate what they can. So nevertheless, Harker's Auto, been around since 67, 38th Avenue and Indian School, and I promise you, they have honesty and integrity. Gil, who we got?
Hey, hello to Rick.
Rick, good morning.
Good morning. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you.
I got a airbag code thing on my dash that solid going off. A good place to take it to diagnose an itch, perhaps, or...
Yeah, what part of town do you live in?
I live on the west side, up on like 75th and Bell, but I could go anywhere, whichever one's the best, and probably the quickest, because it's going to be traded in on Monday. Our new vehicle just got in, and I think if that code's going off, or, you know, that morning's going up, I might get a little bit less for the vehicle, so I might want to get it fixed first.
Okay, well, I want to argue with your last sentence, because they're not going to care. Okay, they're not going to care. This repair could very well be very inexpensive. This could be a clock spring. And they're not going to charge themselves diagnostic time. They're going to charge themselves cost on a part because the technician's on an hourly wage, or the technician is, you know, on what we call a flat rate or whatever. So
okay.
I want you to know that if you were my brother and I loved my brother and he asked me for the best advice I would give him, I would tell him just what I told you. Forget about the light. Everybody knows that that's easy to diagnose. Everybody knows it's not the airbag, which costs a heck of a lot of money. Everybody knows that that's going to be something that's easy to fix. So I really wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't say anything about it, but I wouldn't worry about it. It just means that the airbag's not going to fly if you have a frontal collision. That's all it means.
Yeah, they're probably going to wholesale it anyway when they get it.
Yeah, yeah.
In the trading.
And it's not going to make any difference, because every guy with a hairy chest that's in the car repair business is going to look at that and go, I got that. You know what I mean? It's just on a 1 to 10 scale, it's a 2 or maybe a 3. So you know, if you want it, the diagnostic on that thing could cost you $50 to $100. And you got about a 30% chance of the answer being it costs you $75 to find the bad connection and it costs you $2 to fix it. That's the best you could hope for. The worst you can hope for is that the steering wheel column, the entire wire harness is bad, and we have to replace the entire wire harness and the clock spring. That's the worst that can happen. So I suggest you just trade it in. And, you know, you've already made the deal anyway. Your car's in, so it doesn't make any difference. Anyway, good luck to you. Thank you for that call, Rick, and thank you for the discussion, because that was a good question, not one that I've had before. When we come back, I've always talked about the three-whiskered kid at the auto parts store. I'm not really making fun. I'm trying to draw a mental picture that this young man may not have
much experience. He's been hired to talk about parts, and his primary job is to look up your part and sell you one. But when it comes to diagnostics and stuff or answering technical questions, he probably isn't the best guy. I noticed that not too long ago when I took my mother-in-law's Suburban in, because it had a specific battery from my auto parts store, what we call a retail store, the manager came out after two or three guys had said, we need to get him involved. He's a gray-haired guy. He tested the battery perfectly. He condemned the battery. I was so happy, but I did notice that none of the other guys raised their hand because they had already been told that the gray-haired guy will handle these kinds of diagnoses. Well, when it comes to auto parts, that happens a lot. But when I get back, I'm going to tell you about a place that's opened up a variety of auto parts stores where you're going to find all the grizzly so-and-sos. That's where they live. We'll be back. Well, 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday, we're here from 10 to noon talking about car and car repair. And Doug, you hang still because you're going to be my first caller. But I want to finish what I was talking to you about. There is some facilities in town, some auto parts stores in town that are somewhat new, and they're called Parts Authority. That's where the grizzly guys live. But I'll even tell you more. I am familiar with the everybody up from the ground level. All those guys that sit in their fancy chairs in their fancy offices. I know who they are. I know that they know how to find the good parts. And you know why? Because I buy a lot from them from their warehouse. I'm very comfortable about the quality of the parts. Because you know how they know? By the returns. Guys like me. If I return, you know, one out of every five alternators, there's a lot of other shops that are doing that. They're going to change alternator vendors. So if you're looking for auto parts, may I suggest that you stop by one of the nine locations of Parts Authority, and they will help you. But like I said, go in there with the idea of what kind of part you want and ask them if you've got any options. Otherwise, if you've got a good, better, best kind of options. But you can take it from me. They already know what really works well. I don't make a dime by telling you this. I wouldn't accept a dime for telling you this. I'm telling you this because it's in your best interest to know that there's a great auto parts store out there that just popped out of the ground, Parts Authority. Doug, good morning.
Well, good morning, Mark, and thank you for what you do.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
Well, I'll try to make this quick. I got an old 49 Ford truck that's been all rewired with 12-volt system. I got Dolphin gauges in there. And my question is there two wires going to the gauges, the positive and the negative? Does the positive or the negative go to the dimmer post on the headlight switch?
It's not going to make any difference.
It's not, because the gauges won't dim. And I, if I set the truck for just a week, the battery goes dead. So something's draining it. And because the gauges aren't dimming with the... And when I used the switch, I thought maybe that the positive is grounding out or something.
Okay. Well, if you shut the key off and it's in your pocket and you don't have any dash lights and all you've got is maybe a dome light, but the dash lights aren't working and you pull the headlights and the headlight comes on and the dash lights come on bright and bright, then you shut the headlight switch off and the headlights go away and so does the dash lights. There's a 90% chance has nothing to do with that circuit. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Do you have access to an inductive amp probe?
No, I don't. Okay. I have a snap-on voltage meter.
Okay,
that has the ability to check a ground, but I haven't used it yet.
Okay. Well, that's an ohm meter. You have a DVOM. And a digital volt ohmmeter, and the voltmeter will, you can go from negative to the wire, and so positive to one end and negative to the other, and that will oftentimes tell you if there's a circuit that's completed. Otherwise, do we have power on one side and not the other? So when you take the two leads, the black and the red, you touch them. If the thing goes to 12 volts, then you've got power traveling in that circuit. And if it doesn't, then that circuit's dead. But the inductive amp probe, which is something every shop has, we're going to wrap a set of wires. I want you to picture this. I'm going to go to the positive side of your battery, and I'm going to grab all those wires.
and there's, it says 30 amp draw. The key's in my pocket, the doors are shut, all the lights are off. It says a 30 amp draw. I'm gonna leave it there, and I'm gonna start unplugging things. And I'm gonna unplug your dashboard, I'm gonna unplug your alternator, I'm gonna unplug your air conditioning system, I'm gonna unplug the rear bulb in your trunk, I'm gonna, and then all of a sudden, boom, it falls off. So I go, okay, well, that's the circuit I need to deal with. It's that easy to find the draw on your car. It's just that you have to have the right thing. You have to have the right piece of equipment to look at the amp. Now, it's normal for a car to have a 1-amp draw because that's the keep alive memory in the computer and stuff like that. So I'm not real worried about 1-amp, but I'm real worried about 30. And the alternator... Yeah. Is probably the first place I would check. Do this. Charge it up to 13 volts. Disconnect the alternator. It's probably got a GM alternator in it, maybe, or a Ford.
That's which one? No, it's GM, yeah.
Okay, so it's a 7127. It's got the two-wire plug on the top of it, I would imagine. So just unplug that. Just unplug that and see what happens the next morning. If you go from 13 to 10.2, we haven't touched it. Now you charge it up to 13, and you start disconnecting things one at a time. Now, when you disconnect the distributor or the dashboard, you have to plug the alternator back in. So, to be honest with you, this to find the draw that's... First of all, you have to charge and test the battery first. So you pull one of the cables on it. That's what my shop does. We pull one cable. We charge the battery at 12 volts is barely okay. 13 volts is 100% charge. So 12.1, 12.2, 12.8, 12.9, 13. So we want to get it up to about 13. We let it sit for 24 hours, then we run a load test on it. If it's got 500 CCAs, then we're going to look and say, okay, well, this is okay for 500 CC cold cranking amps. So once we stamp the battery as okay, then we hook the battery into the system, take the voltage, and then next morning we look at it again. So on your old car, I'm not scared about the Dolphin gauges, and I'm not scared about all the fancy stuff you've got. The electrical system works the same, whether it's in your 49 Ford or it's in the 2021 Lamborghini. It's all positive and negative, and it's all really easy to look at. Okay?
In regards to the Dolphin gauges, have you heard anything that some of those gauges are not dimmable?
Well, no, I think what I would probably do, no, I haven't. If you have the right wires, they should be dimmable. I mean, you could literally go off the positive side of the battery. You could put a rheostat there and go to the power supply to the gauges, and you should be able to dim the lights just using a rheostat.
Yeah, I didn't know whether these LED type lights that they use in these gauges are dimmable or not.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. That's a great question. I'll tell you. You got a pencil handy?
Yeah.
Okay. 480-598-1234.
Okay.
Ask for Alan. He'll know. That kid puts in hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars of LED lights. He installs them in off-road vehicles, hot rods, trucks. I mean, there's some of those off-road vehicles that have a jillion gigawatts forward in three or four 40-inch bar LEDs, but I don't know if you can dim those or not. But he will know.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you. So when we talk about auto parts, I'm not making a dime telling you about Parts Authority. I'm suggesting that you try them because I already deal with them. I already know that they're good people. Their heart's in the right place. They buy millions and jillions worth of parts. But behind the scene, there's these little computer geeks with boogers hanging out of their nose, and they're on the computer and they're doing all this kind of stuff. But they have a group back in the back room that already knows that 89% of the batteries in the United States are made by one company. They already know that spark plugs are only made by three companies. Every single spark plug comes out of one of three companies. They already know all this fancy stuff. They already know who makes rubber hoses for everybody. They already know all that. So they're going to buy right and sell right, and it's the same parts that I put on my customers' cars. And you have to know that it's not a good idea for me to cut corners on parts, because if the part fails once, it's okay. If the part fails twice or three times or four times, then I'm using something that may not be compatible with your car, or I'm using a really cheap part and I'm selling it for a whole lot of money. So there's kind of where you're at with respect to auto parts. So obviously, if you can go back to the guy that makes the part, then you're in really good shape. In addition to that, if you go back to the guy who makes the part and you skip all those other guys in the middle, then you're going to buy it cheaper and you can sell it cheaper. So I can't promise you about the pricing. I can just tell you Parts Authority is who I deal with. I deal on a wholesale. We have computers, and we go in and we order the part by the part number. You see, if we order the part as a 12345B and it's the wrong part, everyone knows whose fault it is. Everyone knows it's my fault. Where if you call in and ask them if do they have a part, and they ask you, does it have two wires or three wires to the alternator, and you say two and it really has three, then you're going to get the wrong part. So that's what it's all about. It's I'm different than you, but of all the places that you can buy parts, I'm only suggesting that you try Parts Authority. That's it. I'm just suggesting. Nevertheless, if you want to send me an email, or you have a car question, or if I can settle an argument between you and your wife, mark@marksalem.com is my email address. mark@marksalem.com. I also want to pay homage again to Andy Val, who recently passed away, and he's been at Raintree Auto Body I don't know how many years. He was an old cowboy. He loved old El Caminos, and one of the things about Andy that was always impressive to me is Andy knew right from wrong when it comes to an insurance company and fixing your car after a wreck. And there was enough times where Andy stood up for the customer and insisted that the insurance company fix it his way and not their way. And he won many of those battles. At the beginning, like all the rest of us, we weren't nice about it. But after a while, we learned that it was easier to accomplish your goal if you just simply had dialogue and you could do a little show and tell and get the young insurance adjuster that was hired day before yesterday to see it your way. So that's really what Andy Val brought to the table. He blazed the trail for many of us with respect to the insurance companies telling us how to fix your car. And so it's not that we want to drive the bill up. We just want to use a fender that's going to fit and not a fender that was made for 16 different cars. And it comes with no holes drilled in it, so you can drill the holes in it where you need them to be. That's the kind of silliness that we go through. Not with every insurance company, but there's enough of it out there. So Andy Val was a trailblazer when it came to that kind of stuff. And he made it easy for guys like me, where the aftermarket companies want to send me an alternator brand that I've never heard before for your car.
2 minutes.
That's not something I'm interested in doing. Then I say, well, you're going to send me the alternator. Who's going to warranty that alternator? Well, you are, Mr. Salem. Well, wait a minute. I didn't make a dime on the alternator. You're going to send me some brand I've never heard of, and you want me to warranty it? Now, I'll warranty the installation that we do it right, but I'm not going to warranty the performance of the alternator. Oh, no, Mr. Salem, you have to do that. And I say, oh, no, Danny boy, I'm not doing that because I didn't make any money. You only have two choices, three, actually. One, you can send the alternator. I'm going to write on there. I'm not responsible for the performance of this part. Two, you let me put a part on there. Or three, come get the car, but talk to the owner first, because I'm not releasing it till the owner tells me to release it, and you can take it anywhere you want. I'm not the only guy in town that thinks that way. There's a lot of us that think that way, and Andy Val's kind of started that by standing up. Now, there's insurance companies that I work for.
1 minute.
But the four I love, because you know why? Because they want the truth. Mark, tell me the truth. The truth is the shop method mistake. Okay. Or the truth is you're being too picky. You're holding it to a standard that I don't think you should. So I think if I can get these right. USAA, Liberty, Geico, and Farm Bureau. USAA, A+. Liberty Mutual, A+. Geico, A+. Farm Bureau, A+. Those are the company in Mark Salem's world that want the truth. And so sometimes on other insurance companies, they give me this situation and I say to them, after looking at the data you've given me, I would rather be on their side, not your side. And I think that message comes across real, real strong. Otherwise, I don't want to be on your side because I've read what you've given me and I think you're in the wrong and they're in the right. So anyway, mark at marksalem.com. If you have a car question, I'm happy to answer it. Mark at marksalem.com. And please give me a phone number because sometimes I want to talk.